Why fantasy football compares to a professional golf tournament. This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. Hooters has been our presenting sponsor for the last 9 years. We are now in the 10th anniversary season of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. My thanks to Hooters for all they have done for me and for what they will do for us. This year, they pay for the podcast, so you do not have to. This is specific to the Original Hooters brand. Go to originalhooters.com for all their locations, address, hours of operation, easy online ordering. I was up near Plantation Palms Golf Club yesterday. I've been told where a new Original Hooters location is going in that vicinity, Wesley Chapel, Land O'Lakes-ish. I don't know if I'm allowed to say anything at this point. I was looking over that way. It's a very smart, strategic location. It has a golf connection beyond just being near Plantation Palms Golf Club, which is good for me since that's one of my home courses. Thanks to Hooters, specific to originalhooters.com for their continuing support of what we do here on the Fantasy Podcast. For your fantasy questions, comments, anything else, write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Greg was the first to identify something about this year's podcast that is unique and a theme to this year's podcast. If you think you have noticed something unique and a theme to this year's podcast and what the connection is, please send it to me and I will mention you as well. Greg, you never cease to surprise me. Write.todd@yahoo.com. If you want to play in a golf tournament, which our season opener for the 10th season of Todd Wright Tour Golf Events, I started doing these podcasts around the same time I started hosting golf tournaments. Easy to remember for me. The golf tournament is at Plantation Palms Golf Club. It is Todd Wright Tour 52, or as I call it, LII. If you'd like golf information, our events are always open to the public. None of our events have ever cost more than $99 in tournament fees. You save money against other golf events and get a better product by playing in Todd Wright Tour events. So I welcome you to reach out. We have new players every tournament. ToddWrightGolf@gmail.com. The analogy between golf and fantasy football is this. The pros play in traditionally a four-round golf tournament. LIV has changed that to a three-round golf tournament. But I think the theory still applies. You don't win a golf tournament in the first round, but you can lose it in the first round. The same applies to fantasy football and the draft. You don't win your fantasy football league on draft day, but you can lose it. So that's what you need to avoid. And apply it also to this. I recently, as I continue to weave my way through tons of mostly, I've chosen well in most cases, books. I've made books a bigger part of my life the last couple of years. And the Bill Belichick book by Ian O'Connor was terrific. And one of many things Bill is known for and is applying as we speak at the University of North Carolina is how so many football games are not won. You avoid losing them by not making mistakes. And the translation is, let the other team lose. Apply it to fantasy football, apply it to your draft. I had a recent conversation with a friend at a golf facility who was asking my opinion on something he should do in his fantasy draft. And I gave him an answer. And it was like the answer didn't register. And he's a smart guy. Sometimes these things don't. Right? But I answered his question. And he still wasn't convinced why I answered it that way. That's fine. But part of how I answered his question was the elimination, especially early in the board, from the top of the board down. You eliminate as many question marks as possible. You use data. You don't use your gut. Funny, I just finished a book called Cheated, which was a history of sign stealing and other things in Major League Baseball, but was very well written and focused intensely on things the Astros did in 2017 and, despite their denials, into 2018 and 2019. But it also talked about, and the John W. Miller book about Earl Weaver that I read earlier this year also talked about how managers in baseball have become, if you will, a conduit and a collaborator to convince players about data and information in the decisions that are made in lineups and tangibly on the field. Use the information, especially early in your drafts. Once you get later on, for bench players and even, you know, Matthew Berry talks about a lottery ticket. I like that term. When you get in the last round or two, depending on the length of your draft, my drafts aren't particularly long. I usually go with a 13-round draft with 7 starters, 6 reserves. Sure, buy a lottery ticket. Because with that last pick, chances are pretty good he's not even going to stay on your roster for week 1, week 2, week 3, let alone all season long. Scratch it. Scratch the itch. Scratch the ticket. Don't do it in round 1. Don't do it in round 2, round 3. My selection of Jaden Daniels last year, that worked out incredibly for me. What, round 9, round 10? If it hadn't worked out, what was the downside? There wasn't any. It worked out. I didn't take Daniels in the first 8 rounds to be my starting fantasy quarterback. I waited. If someone else had taken him, things would have worked out. He was worth more to somebody else. Turns out he wasn't, and it worked out for me. So the theme of these next 5 podcasts will be by round. I sense and I know that some fantasy drafts are coming up soon. So I just want to go round by round based on actual data that you can also look at for free at fantasyfootballcalculator.com that projects ADP based on thousands of mock drafts that have recently happened at the time of this broadcast. So today I will offer you, and we're recording this at 1 p.m. Eastern time on Monday, August 18th. Let's just do round 1. I'm going to offer you thoughts on what the data says about ADP, who's going in round 1, and let's talk about it. Number 1 overall, Ja'Marr Chase. I would say, gosh, this is really conservative. 75% of fantasy drafts right now will have Chase going off the board 1. The 25% minority will be the guy who hates the Bengals, the guy who loves the Eagles, the guy who loves the Falcons, the guy who loves the Lions, or the guy who just has to have a running back first. Otherwise, it's Chase at the top of the board. Again, conservatively, 75% of drafts. Clicked all the boxes from the data in 2024. It's the same head coach. It's the same play calling. It's the same franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow. It's the same T. Higgins on the other side. It is the same shitty Bengals organization, which you have to factor in. But Chase's numbers last year were outstanding. If you had Chase last year and you made the final four, if not better, in your fantasy leagues, you had Ja'Marr Chase to thank for that. And he is going off draft boards at number one this year. In a lot of recent fantasy football years, the consensus number one has not produced at his draft capital. We'll see what that means for Ja'Marr Chase. Number two, and this has changed in the data over the last week. Saquon Barkley is at two, not Bijan Robinson. I think people are just grounding themselves and realizing, do I really want to make the same mistake twice? Because how many of us, my hand is up, this was the theme of my podcasts last year, and I talked about how everyone in my leagues was guilty of this, that you had a chance to take Barkley in the first round and in, let's use the same percentage, in 75%, that's very conservative, cases, the people you passed on him in the first round. Why did you pass on him? Well, because Jalen Hurts is going to touch the ball all the time at the goal line and he doesn't throw to running backs. That's why. You talked yourself out of it. No Jason Kelce on the offensive line. They're loaded. Barkley's explosive plays, Barkley's touch counts, which we've reviewed on previous podcasts, his phenomenal season, all blew that away. I called it Barkley's remorse. Do you really want to have it this year? Prior to this podcast, I just opened the data to do podcast today. Bijan Robinson was going second behind Ja'Marr Chase. I'm sure it's close. But now the data says Barkley is number two overall. These are people that don't want to have Barkley's remorse. I wouldn't. I know someone, maybe I'll send him this podcast. Damn it, you should be listening to me anyway. Support your friends. Who has the second pick? And he was worried about, we talked about Bijan Robinson. Apparently, others don't want to worry about it either. Just avoid Barkley's remorse and take Barkley number two. That's what people seem to be doing based on the current data. Dare I say, some people at number one overall who aren't Eagles fans or who don't have enough Barkley's remorse from last year, or some other reason, could be setting themselves up for Barkley's remorse by passing on him at number one overall. So Robinson sits at three in the current data. I don't expect to own Robinson this year in fantasy. There's just something about this value, and I'm looking at it for the first time as ADP 3. I've been looking at it for ADP 2 and just saying no. Then, as we talked about in a previous podcast, the one with Claymation, Mike Clay took Robinson second overall in the on-air ESPN fantasy football draft ahead of Barkley, behind Chase. It's like, okay, if Mike Clay's on board, then I have to give this another look. I gave it another look on a Falcons team that was predominantly quarterbacked by one-legged Kirk Cousins last year. Robinson's numbers were very good. I owned Robinson when he was a rookie. A couple of years ago, I took chances on Robinson and Breece Hall as starting running back. So I've owned them in the past. I guess the thought here is, it's not just the numbers from last year. It's the, well, they're going Penix. And to quote a movie you may know, people getting excited about what the Falcons might do, it's to infinity and beyond with the Falcons and Robinson and London with Penix at the helm. I'm not so sure, because I still think the Falcons are the franchise, not the Bengals. Not just in the NFL. Of the major four North American professional sports, no one has been in business longer without a championship banner hanging from the ceiling, a championship trophy in the office, in the atrium, than the Atlanta Falcons. The likelihood is something doesn't go right here. But I see Robinson at ADP 3 at the time of this podcast. I get it. If I have the third pick and Chase and Barkley are off the board, I'm probably not doing it. I understand Mike Clay did it at 2, and many are doing it at 2 or 3. I don't think I will. Maybe I'll have Bijan remorse this year. Fantasy football calculator data has Gibbs at 4. There seems to be less of a concern about David Montgomery's volume near the goal line this year. But we went through this last year. It's why I wrote off Montgomery. And I was wrong. And a champion in one of my leagues did not. And it helped him win a championship. We do have a new play caller, and one that, until proven otherwise, I think stinks. Now in the audibilizer of Jared Goff in Detroit, and an all-pro center to start each play and anchoring that offensive line is gone in Detroit. I think Gibbs is a dynamic talent. ADP 4, third running back off the board. That's where the data says he is going. Some Lions fans, I guess, are going to take him number 1 overall. That's not going to happen in a significant amount of leagues. But I think in some leagues, he may go before Robinson as the second running back. I guess in some, he'll go as the second running back after Robinson and after Barkley. I've owned Gibbs in the past, owned him as a rookie, exciting player, a lot of fun. I think the Lions window, I don't know that it was ever open, because of the flaws in Dan Campbell and Jared Goff, the key spots, head coach and quarterback to win a Super Bowl. But I think they're sliding. I'm not convinced they win their division. They lost both coordinators, an all-pro center. There's some attrition here. What does that mean for Gibbs? I still think Gibbs should have a fantastic season. But will there be something different about Detroit that impacts the draft capital of Gibbs? Derrick Henry is, as we speak, at ADP 5, RB 4. I hate this because I have subscribed to the King Henry catalog for so long. I don't think I owned them last year. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember because I've owned them for so many years. It's also a reason why I tell you, Mike Vrabel is not a good head coach. Mike Vrabel wasted Derrick Henry. Somehow Mike Vrabel, for all his years he coached in Tennessee, never got to a Super Bowl with Derrick Henry. He wasn't using him properly at the beginning. And then because Vrabel has a defensive background and so many other tangible flaws, I know Vrabel's a really nice guy. But there's so much about Vrabel's run in Tennessee that doesn't seem connected to him that I think should be. And I think you'll see this play out in New England with a supposed continued pushing of the Patriot way. I can't argue with Derrick Henry. I actually hate it that Derrick Henry is moving up on draft boards, that people aren't making the mistake they made last year and previous years. This is the year he drops off. This is the year he gets hurt. Look, I know he's in his 30s, but Derrick Henry seems to be to his early 30s what Tom Brady was to his early 40s, and look at the way they take care of themselves. Look at their commitment to the game, to their nutrition, to their body. That's what I think is going on here. Pick six, Justin Jefferson. And I'll just go ahead and lump in CeeDee Lamb at pick seven. So they are wide receiver 2 and 3. And according to current data from fantasyfootballcalculator.com, there they sit back to back. So kind of exchangeable. The projection here is middle of the first round. Some of you soured on Jefferson last year because of quarterback questions. We have this again this year, where the question is McCarthy worth his actual draft capital for the Minnesota Vikings, or is this going to fail, whether it's due to physical problems for McCarthy or he just can't do it, and the Vikings get in the Arch Manning thing for the next year or two. The thing about Jefferson and Lamb, they both have new deals. They're both with offensive head coaches. They can just go catch balls. You throw it near them, they're probably going to go get it. So I don't think there are a lot of question marks. If you want to take a wide receiver, if you either want to take a wide receiver in the first round or the running back or running backs you wanted in the first round aren't there, I don't think you can go wrong with Jefferson and Lamb. And I'll take it another step. I don't know if either of these teams are a playoff team, and I don't know if it matters for our fantasy purposes. Christian McCaffrey at 8 is interesting. I'm out on Christian McCaffrey unless for some reason I can get him, I don't know, round 3. I wasn't betrayed by the secret last year. I owned him, drafted him number 1 overall 2 years ago, and he helped me win a fantasy championship. I didn't know anything last year. I would have shared it with you. But there's a lot of scar tissue out there on McCaffrey from last year. I'll just say this, and I know nothing. I never want to tear my Achilles, but I know people who have. And it sure felt like the reason why Christian McCaffrey played so little last year was because everyone connected was afraid he was going to tear his Achilles. And that's a career ender for a player like him. To borrow a line from my friend Gil Alexander's VEASAN show with Kelly Bidlin, are we sure we're totally past that? Or could suddenly week, pick any week, 1, 4, 6. If you're drafting a running back in the first round, you're expecting them to play every week other than their bye and help you win a fantasy championship. What if McCaffrey feels something? And then suddenly the Niners start freaking out again. Are we sure? I'm out on McCaffrey. I see him based on data as RB5, projected 8th overall. Ashton Jeanty, RB6, 9th overall, seems high to me. But I get that someone's going to overdraft him. He has the look of a guy who can put up explosive plays the way Saquon Barkley did last year. Here's why I'm hesitant. Barkley did it on the Eagles, Jeanty's on the Raiders. I'll leave it at that. Barkley at least had enough years in the NFL with the Giants where we saw some things against NFL competition. With Jeanty, we have not. Achan, RB7, 10th overall. The three words, soft tissue injury, are as dangerous to me involving a fantasy football player as the three words, I love you, are from any woman in my life. So I'm out on Achan. I also think the people with the Dolphins hate that the word culture keeps being brought up. Fine. Coach Kuhl doesn't know how to win in the NFL. I think he's at best a play caller, which is a hell of a thing to be in the modern NFL. And that's where he could make his money. And that way he could also sit in the booth and no one badmouths his bad choice of clothes. All he has to worry about is working with the quarterback, game plan, call plays. Let the head coach deal with all the shit that Coach Kuhl, McDaniel, doesn't know what he's doing. Achan, to me, the soft tissue injury acknowledged just gives you the final reason to pass on this player. Oh, look who's at 11. Woo, where did this come from? Moving on up, Jefferson's reference. Yeah, Nico Collins, wide receiver 4 based on this current data. We're doing a 12 team, and I even hedged for you, by the way, with the data when I put in the specs. This is all half point PPR, and you know I call PPR outdated fantasy football, but I know a lot of you lazy sons of bitches still play it. I actually respect those of you that play half point PPR because it's the hedge. You've at least moved to the middle. I can make a statement outside of sports here. Moving to the middle is not a bad thing. It just shows you're open to compromise and listening to the other argument. So based on the data, Nico Collins, 4th wide receiver off the board. I love it. I really, really love it. I think part of the reason why Nico Collins doesn't get more attention as being such a great wide receiver, which I think he is, the injuries and just the fact that he plays in Houston. And outside of Houston, Texas, does anyone give a shit about the Houston Texans? They're one of those franchises that need fantasy football fans. They need people to bet on them to build their fan base. If there's a Houston Texans fan that rips the Cowboys for not reaching a conference championship game in the last 30 years? Why are you talking? Your team has never done it. Yeah, I like Nico Collins. And I endorse his current position. And we'll finish with Malik Nabers. Current data has him going off the board as wide receiver 5. 12th pick of a 12-team league, so last pick of the first round. There's so much not to like about the Giants right now, and how they maintain the same front office and head coach that gagged were the reasons for the problems in 2025. We're not sure how much Russell Wilson plays, how much Jackson Dart plays, who's actually carrying the ball in the backfield for this team. Nabers' numbers last year still were really good. On a bad team playing with multiple bad quarterbacks, maybe he can replicate that on another bad team. And it seems like some are very stubborn about Nabers, and they're not Giants fans. So you're not going to talk him out of it. Personally, I doubt I'll own Malik Nabers. If I'm going to grab a wide receiver somewhere in this area, I would choose someone else in a more stable, proven, more than 1 year sample size situation with an established quarterback and not a head coach on a short leash. So there's the first round. This will be a theme of the upcoming podcast. We'll do the second round in the next one. The Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast is presented by Hooters. Thanks for listening. Email me, wright.todd@yahoo.com.